Are there still hidden evidence of the ancient city of Atlantis? Did some of their technology survive and have influenced our society today? Today we have Douglas Kenya talking about his new book, Ghost of Atlantis, how the echoes of lost civilizations influence our modern world. The mystery and myth of Atlantis has been around for thousands of years. Today, do we have some new information? Well, we're going to find out. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to Truth Be Told Studios, author of the book, Ghost of Atlantis. Please welcome Douglas Kenya. Hey, Douglas.
Hey, Tony.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited. I haven't talked about Atlantis for a while, so this is going to be fun. And with your brand new book, I mean, come on in. I love the art. I don't know who designed it, but they did a great job for your book. So
I have to give credit to the editorial department at Inner Traditions.
Well, they're great to work with, and always carry some great artists. So make sure you go to innertraditions.com to find out all about all the books there. Douglas Kenya's books there. Or let's get started. You've written several other books. Let's just name a few here. We have Forbidden History, Forbidden Religion, Forbidden Science. That one is in Spanish, so I'm not going to do it. But your brand spanking new one is Ghost of Atlantis. Tell us about the book and what inspired you to continue to keep writing about this subject of Atlantis that's been around for thousands of years, and we still can't find a damn thing yet. Or maybe Doug has.
Well, of course, I published a magazine, Atlantis Rising, and we published that for about 25 years. And we referred to ancient mysteries, unexplained anomalies, future science as the categories of information we carried. But I always believed that Atlantis represented something much deeper than people realize in the psyche of the people. All kinds of people who maybe don't think about Atlantis specifically are influenced by archetypes, by images, and so forth, that really relate to the idea of an ancient civilization that disappeared tragically. I've always kind of referred to the story in the Titanic,
right?
Where you have the idea of here's this great ship representing the pinnacle of achievement for that society, and it goes down through a collision with nature and in a very tragic way, and people are trying to later on resurrect that memory. And it's that kind of thing that I think that affects us all deeply. I mean, of course, there are many dimensions to that, both in terms of how it affects us psychologically. And I think it's one of those things that can account for some of the really negative things that are going on in civilization. Another image that comes to mind is like the idea of a haunted house in which you've got records that pertain to, say, tragic experiences that may have occurred in that house at one time. And the spirits, if you will, and I'm not trying to project the idea that this is real.
Right.
I'm just trying to say that this is a phenomenon that we all encounter in one way or another, where we're addressing something that is buried very deep within our collective unconscious, and that now it's influencing what we do. And It's one of those things that I think people need to learn to think about it in a deeper way.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and Atlantis, there's so many different theories and so many different ways to look at it. You know, some people do think it's just a myth and we made it up. Some people are very serious about believing that this was a high technology civilization, way more advanced than what we are now. And, you know, a lot of psychics I've worked with, you know, they talk about people reincarnated in past lives being in Atlantis. Have you ever had an opportunity to do a past life to see maybe your interest is because you were a past life in Atlantis?
Well, I do believe in reincarnation, and we do talk about that quite a bit in the book. And I think it's one of the things that explains our connection between what we experience now,
right,
and what we experienced a long time ago. And if you want to know why our world echoes, you know, a forgotten world, that goes a long way toward explaining it. I'm not going to suggest that I have any firm knowledge, right, of this sort, but it makes very good sense to me. And, you know, one of the major themes of the book is the idea of amnesia. And the idea that we have, in fact, this is the reason why the influence is so negative on us, is because we have denied it, suppressed it.
Right.
We basically blocked it. And so we're not able to deal with it consciously. Immanuel Velikovsky, who was made a lot of waves back in the 60s with a number of books, he's considered sort of the father of catastrophism. And that's the idea that Earth has had many very destructive events,
right,
that have pretty much wiped out civilization, and that in the aftermath of that experience, basically, we experienced amnesia. We forgot who we were. We forgot what we were up to, and we had to go back to the Stone Age and start over again. And that's and when you do that, of course, it's very painful to go through the process. But then after a few thousand years, when you finally built it all back up, then once again, you find you're confronting the same challenges that brought you down. Only thing is, you don't remember. You know, right. It's something really challenging. But and that again is, this is what we're trying to do in the book, is to help people to understand this. And there are a lot of you know, it's present on a smaller scale in a lot of places that you can look at and understand more clearly. And like I mentioned, like the Titanic,
right?
But you can kind of reconstruct what we're going through and how it affects us. And that's why I think people do remember their experiences from this very, I think there's plenty of evidence that it was advanced. I mean, certainly Edgar Cayce believed that it was very advanced, talked about it a lot. And we refer a lot to Cayce's work. There's a lot of different theories about what it might have been like. I think you hear, was it a hard technology like ours, or was it maybe a soft technology, which was more kind of spiritual or psychic, if you will, but one that in which we had access to a lot of capabilities, or call them powers, that we don't have anymore, because it's part of what we lost in the process.
Right.
And now we're trying to find our way back, climbing the mountain, And as we reach a certain level, we're reaching a level where we're at a sufficient altitude that that we can see a larger picture, and that's where we suddenly discover where our past comes back to greet us.
Do you think, this just popped into my head, do you think, and I'm sure I've thought about this before, that alien life from outside this planet, this galaxy, had an influence on Atlantis, or do you feel that these were full out 100% human beings that just had more spiritual connection? What's your take on that?
Well, my sense is, and I think there's is that history on this planet is it's like a crossroads of a sort where all kinds of influences intersect, and so you do get maybe extraterrestrial influences and of some sort. I don't know if they're what form they actually take, but I think it's certainly highly possible. And then, of course, you've got our own forgotten history, and there's so many elements that have been lost along the way that putting it all back together again is pretty difficult. But I think that you do have many different factors that are that help to explain our strange history, and you can't rule any of them out.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I know in your book you were talking about advanced ancient technology. Do you feel that this technology, if we could find, well, I'll have two questions. Do you feel like some of that technology lives today that we just are unaware of? And second, do you feel that the technology that was passed down helped create the Great Pyramids? And then, you know, Göbekli Tepe and some of these ancient sites around the world.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, but that's true on the light side, and it's true on the dark side. And I think if you really want to understand what happened, say, with the Third Reich in World War II,
right,
you're looking at reincarnated Atlanteans trying to do some of the things that they failed to do or failed to complete, you know, in Atlantis. I mean, Edgar Cayce talks about this. The idea that he thought that the major thing that brought down Atlantis was this conflict between over what to do with kind of subhumans that had been created through their technology, and that the idea is that a lot of the chimeras this genetic engineering that was the source of a lot of evil,
right,
which basically culminated in this cataclysmic destruction of Atlantis. Of course, I mean, the big argument in academia is not over anything like this. They're looking at, well, was the Earth hit with a bolide of some sort, or was it or was there, as Robert Schock says, some kind of a solar outburst and so forth that brought it all down? And making any connection between those kinds of events and the kinds of things we're talking about now, which are essentially kind of individual karma, or, you know, to use the reincarnation thing, it's it's like, those are the things that the soul is involved in.
Right.
And I think that a lot of the culture wants to dismiss all that and wants to disconnect them. But in fact, that they are connected. It's just that the connection is far more subtle than we tend to realize. And that things happen for causes, causes that are forgotten, and causes that are neglected. Also people want to, they don't want to deal with the sense of guilt, mm-hmm. or the sense of responsibility for negative events. And so it's like the morning after the night before,
right?
When you have the hangover, but you don't necessarily want to connect it with your activities of the night before. And I think that that's something that we all deal with. And I mean, frankly, you know, I'm of the mystical persuasion, but I don't want to offer that as an argument for a lot of these things, because I do believe that there is solid evidence for many of the things we're saying. And one of the things the book is the book is full of scientific information based on studies of all kinds that basically document the reality of what we're talking about. And so if you can put it together, then to the point that the evidence becomes inescapable, then you're basically, you've got something that seems to me to be pretty compelling.
Right, for sure. And I know in the book you talked about the ancient Armageddon. Was that where you said that not only solar flares, but do you feel like there was another a natural disaster, or do you? I mean, your theory, because we've heard a lot about other people's theories, but your theory, or do you feel like there was another civilization that maybe had more technology or more just that came in and destroyed them?
I think you have to. I'm not going to try to. My opinion doesn't really count for too much,
right,
in my
right,
view, but there's plenty of evidence. There are people who, for example, if you look at the scriptures of India, the Mahabharata and the Bhagavad Gita and so forth, you find stories of confrontations between different civilizations that were technological and were highly advanced. And there's evidence that there was, I think there's an interesting case that can be made that there was nuclear war.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing
and that. I'm not so sure that you can conclude that from, say, some of the artifacts that they found in Mohenjo-Daro that a lot of people like to point to, which is the Harappan civilization in eastern India Western India and eastern Pakistan. But whether or not you go along with that, there's certainly, they were talking about something that sounds an awful lot like nuclear destruction, right, in many of those texts. And so that's one good example. And there are others.
Last week we had Brad Olson on, and we were talking about Antarctica. He actually traveled down there. Not too many people, get to travel down to Antarctica. But like you were saying, if you think that the Nazis were like past lives were of Atlanteans, they also traveled and had bases in Antarctica. And we've heard a lot of stories about, these no-fly zones and, areas that you're not supposed to go to, and potentially Atlantis being one of those areas that is hidden under the ice. Do you feel that that is a possibility where, since, that's one of the largest, land masses of ice and
We talk about that quite a bit in the book. I've got a couple chapters dealing with that.
Okay.
I know that one of the people who who wrote a couple pieces for us, and I interviewed him for Atlantis Rising, was Rand Flamoth, and he and his wife they were good friends or with Charles Hapgood, who of course was a cartographer from a college in New England.
Right.
But he was a very serious scientist, and he wrote several books which were very influential. We talk about the maps that he discovered, most famously the Puri Reis map, but there were others, basically that will appear to be Atlantis beneath the ice. And we didn't realize, we weren't able to measure that ourselves until recently. In the 1950s, we were finally able to track the coast of Antarctica. I see you've got the Puri Reis map up there. We've got a whole chapter on portolans, which are the Puri Reis map was a portolan. You see those lines that go from point to point that basically indicate what sailors believed was the distance and time between points. And the important thing about the portolans is that they actually represent a map making capability that was pretty much anomalous. It's hard to explain without reference to much more ancient sources. And there's been some very good research on that, which has been largely ignored in the mainstream press. But of course, part of this, it's actually a pretty large and complicated story.
Right.
But part of this involves a map that Columbus is believed to have used to find his way to America, is Mapamundi. And many people think he had access to the Puri Reis map. And of course, the Puri Reis map apparently has information that ties it to the Library at Alexandria.
Oh, wow.
That's the story that is part of the really compelling evidence for the existence of a civilization that is now lost to history.
Could you talk about some of the lost technology? Do you think one of those was levitation?
Well, I mean, if you're asking me my opinion, I would say, I think so. John Michel, who I interviewed a couple of times and who we talked and who had some really great thoughts on Atlantis and the evidence for it. He was a Cambridge-trained scholar. He used to talk about this. He believes that the ancients, and he was relating this to like the construction of Stonehenge and
right.
many others there, where you had people who basically under the guidance of a priest who was the master of it, a druid priest or something like that, people would chant in union. And this was all guided in such a way to actually make possible the raising up of huge stones like you find in Stonehenge and Avebury and many other places. I don't know whether that's so or not, but I do believe that it's easy to believe that this is part of the idea of a soft technology, a technology that is essentially it represents a spiritual advancement, and so that they were able to deploy sound, and sound in particular, to be able to do things like move large stones,
right,
and perhaps to guide their whole civilization enterprise.
Well, I had an archaeologist on about a month ago. I mean, a lot of the ufologists, they believe, you know, that aliens or extraterrestrials helped Egypt and all these many others build the pyramids and these structures. But he was one that does not believe in UFOs. But he says, we know where the quarries are, where they got the stone. He goes, getting them to the structure, he goes, but we have to say we don't know how they got the stones where they laid them on the structures. And so that being said, you know, like you're talking, bringing up Nazis, I mean, they were working on a levitation machine. I mean, I think that was fascinating that is even a thought possibility during World War II, when technology was not advanced as it is now.
Yeah, I think that the only thing I would say along the lines of what you're saying there is that I think the only problem with a lot of people who are always looking for UFO explanations,
right,
is that they're not giving sufficient credit
that's, yeah,
to the development of civilization here on this planet.
And he said the same thing, actually. He said the same thing.
And there was a lot more was achieved than people realize. And therefore, it wasn't necessary. You don't have to go to the extraterrestrial explanation to explain things. I think that people struggle with the idea of they see us, our world today, as representing this great advancement. And wondering how things happened in the past that we couldn't do now, then what do you say? And mm-hmm. And you can say, well, the aliens did it, or right. Or you can say, as I tend to believe, that there were very advanced beings who were part of the human race, and who could do things that we cannot even comprehend today. And I think that's what that's really where the hope is. And this makes sense in terms of the connection between all of us, that we're in this family, and we have capabilities that we've lost touch with that are part of there is like family capabilities that we need to wake up to, so that this is the key to use an Arthur Clarke phrase, childhood's end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we want to, we need to mature in terms of our recognition of who we are, and therefore. And that's where the idea, and that's when you start getting into things like responsibility and continuity between different stages of development. And when you look at it in that perspective, then suddenly the importance of Atlantis looms large.
Well, real quick, I want to just promote coming up next month. I'm going to be hosting and... of course, interviewing many of the people from Contact in the Desert. It's going to be June 25th through the 28th. You can go to contactinthedesert.com and get tickets for that. It's a virtual event this year. It's not going to be in person. You know, as you can see at the bottom of this picture, if you're not watching the video and you're listening to it, it's, you know, there's George Norrie, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, and Eric Von Daniken, the list goes on and on and on of all the people that are going to be speaking this year. Our guest today is Douglas Kenyon. He has a book that just came out called Ghost of Atlantis. We're talking about some, you know, technology and some of the spirituality and even just thoughts and people's theories on Atlantis and how they influenced our society today. And I always, at this time, I usually go to our chat room, and we have some people in the chat room, and thank you guys for always tuning in and being a part of the show. And I say, ask questions, and if I think that this would be a question that Douglas might be able to answer, if not, you know, we can move on. But Douglas, you mind taking a few questions from the chat room?
Oh, go for it.
All right. So we have Joseph. He actually has a couple questions, but we'll start with this one. Let's see, where'd you go? What, if applicable, were the pre-Adamic people? Do you think that pre-Adam and Eve, do you feel like these might be some of the people that would be Atlanteans, and their culture was influential on the Bible and other?
Yeah, we have a chapter in the book on the Bible and Atlantis, and basically there's a lot of, frankly, I think you can find a lot of references in the Bible that really are descriptions of Atlantis. I think that the whole story of Noah is the is really a kind of a veiled description of what happened in Atlantis. Now, I don't go along with the chronology that is that a lot of that you get from a lot of people who do rely on the Bible in I think a very literal way. My dad was one of them, but I do think that you have for Atlantis, I think happened much earlier than people believe. But I think there's any doubt that most of the descriptions of various races that may have existed and that played a role in the early in our civilization was basically following designs and patterns that resulted from Atlantis. I just think that everybody needs to drop back and look, get a bigger picture. I think that the picture needs to be very, very big.
Right.
And I think that most people want to make the picture, you know, way too small. And that's one of the reasons why, I mean, it's like looking through a keyhole to see the design. And that's why it's hard to see the big picture.
And the next question actually is kind of a two-parter for me. He says, as we advance, does Moore laws have limits? Will humanity peak then crumble? Do you feel like the less we know, the less we deny Atlantis from our past lives and even technology or even to not even believe in it exists at all? Do you feel that humanity is going in the same direction as Atlantis?
Well, I think that's part of the point. Yes, it could. I think history is cyclical. It's like it unfolds in regularly recurring patterns. And so that you keep trying until you get it right.
Right.
And so sure, we run the risk of repeating, renewing the ancient destruction that was set in motion or that brought down Atlantis. I think that that is a very, very real risk. And that's so it's a warning, among other things. And I think the people have to take it seriously.
And in your book, because we always think of technology, and like I said, you mentioned it a little bit, of being, you know, electronics or machinery or whatever, more physical. But technology, I feel, especially back then, could be a lot about spirituality and, like you said, psychic abilities and stuff like that. So do you feel that the spiritual knowledge of the ancients, do you feel more and more people now after the, you know, 2012, the Mayan calendar, and the realms are getting thinner between each other? Do you feel that that connection of the Atlanteans or that, or even the spirituality of that era is more present than ever? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I think that what we're talking about is consciousness, right?
Yes, consciousness.
It's like individual, both individually and collectively. And that and of course, there are, as we progress along the way, there's cause and effect. And we do something that is destructive, then we get a destructive consequence. Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Right.
It basically, what you reap, you what you sow, you reap. And so that's the idea of karma. And I think that therefore that's what determines, you know, how people learn and experience. And I think that people are making discoveries of, you know, of their encountering the effects of causes they set in motion now. It's no fun sometimes. I mean, it's not always. and I think that it's the kind of thing that you have to look at what that really means. I mean, you can talk about it casually and dismiss it as a kind of children's fable, or you can look at it as a real phenomenon of cause and effect, and something that that we're dealing with every day. And the most important thing to realize about Atlantis is the Atlanteans were us.
Mm-hmm.
We were the Atlanteans, and so whatever we did now, we've come full circle. And now we find ourselves facing the same challenges. That's this idea. And so that's the idea of responsibility that you have to look at. It's very complicated. I mean, there's a lot of different implications. And I mean, it has many, many different aspects. But that's the nux of it.
Yeah, I never did not believe in past lives. But I remember a psychic that I work with. Her sister was a past life regression therapist. I never believed that I could actually go be regressed back, because I always knew that I had ADD and my mind just constantly goes. But when I finally did a regression, I didn't go back to Atlantis, but I did have a regression, you know, it like a movie that played out. So I find it fascinating when I hear people that go back, because knowing that they've had that experience of Atlantis and being part of a civilization that is so far advanced in so many ways, we don't even know what that advancement was. And I think that's the mystery, and that's what keeps us really interested, because, you know, we find civilizations all the time, ruins, and they kind of get lost in the shuffle, other than Egypt and, you know, Machu Picchu and stuff like that. But I think as more people become more spiritual, I believe that this earth will probably get a little more grip on how we're destroying the earth, but greed's always going to be there. So, you know, it's going to be that balance of how we survive. Well, we have about 10 minutes left. I know there's one thing in the news that's been very relevant is Mars. And I know in your book you talked about Earth's connection with Mars, but how does that connect with Atlantis? What's the connection of putting that in your book?
Well, I think there's evidence that, you know, when you talk about cosmic history and you talk about influences that may have impacted life on Earth from 10, 12,000 years ago or longer, you have to include things that may have occurred in the in terms of the solar system. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the Emmanuel Velikovsky, who wrote Earth in Collision and so forth, and he also wrote Mankind in Amnesia, and many other a lot of other great works with evidence for all of this, believe that there was this this essentially a collision between Earth and he thought that maybe that Venus was actually at one time a comet and that passed through the solar system and passed very close to Earth, and that this was one of the great destructive effects in our history. But there, this kind of thinking is part of a lot of esoteric schools of thought,
right?
And one of them is this idea that the asteroid belt was basically a product of a collision or of a destroyed planet, and that a planet was actually blown up. That's part of what we're talking about. And there's a nuclear physicist, John Brandenburg, and we quote him a lot. And mm-hmm. we had an interview with him, which was part of our story, in which we have a chapter in the book called The Nukes of Mars, I think mm-hmm. was the name of the chapter, but it's based on the chapter Ancient Nukes. John Brandenburg is a nuclear physicist who believes, who has seen a lot of evidence that there was a nuclear destruction or a nuclear event on Mars, and that a lot of what we find on Mars today is a result of this ancient event. And of course, a lot of people sneer at that idea.
Right.
But I think it's something that helps us to understand what we're facing on Earth in terms of possibilities, to realize that perhaps we have a good example of this right in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, Mars and Atlantis, and it seems like there's so many spiritual wars that have happened throughout the thousand, millions of years. But when we talk about this, it almost reminds me of Superman. You know, how his planet blows up, his parents send him off into sure. into the universe. He just happens to land on Earth.
why do you think that stories like this always strike such a chord with people?
Right.
There's something in them that recognizes that they're connected to it. Of course, they're taught
right.
from childhood to basically sneer at all of this and to dismiss it as just as unreality. But if you really want to discover what the truth of the human psyche is, you know, you're going to have to face the fact that we have the seeds of immortality
right.
are planted in us, and we intuitively realize that that's our nature. That's who we are, and we identify with stories and archetypes that express this. Whereas and that's totally at odds with the narrow materialistic view that dominates our society. And but of course, that's to our disadvantage. That's what keeps us in line. That's right. What keeps us. And of course, it's basically that's where the sense of that's tyranny.
Right.
That basically denies us our true possibilities. And frankly, conversations like the one we're having right now can get us into a lot of trouble in certain quarters.
Oh, yeah. In fact, Sharon in the chat room was, she says, we're now in a spiritual war. It has never been so good and so good. And people that are psychic mediums, remote viewers, et cetera, are being shut down. And she was asking, do you think that's ever going to improve?
Well, I think I believe free will reigns supreme, and I think that the future is something that is yet to be determined. And I think that basically we have to learn to behave, and if we don't, you know, no telling what we may unleash. I think that there's a lot of we're facing a lot of risk, a lot of danger that we have to look out for. And and that's part of the story that the book is trying to get across, but with a lot of evidence.
Well, that's what I love about your work. You definitely are the researcher that brings evidence and not just theories. I mean, there are theories in there, I'm sure too, but you know, people need to get this book, Ghost of Atlantis. And can you tell everybody, because we're almost out of time, can you tell everybody where to pick up your book?
Well, you can get it through Amazon and wherever books are sold. It's widely distributed. It's available at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and all the big book chains. And of course, Amazon, as I say, and you can get it directly from Inner Traditions, too, online if you want. Or, it's not actually, if you look for it, it's not hard to find.
Oh yeah. And you just type it in and type your name and it pops right up. So, well, any last words that, you can leave our audience of anything that we may have missed out about the book? We talked about a lot, and I appreciate you, you know, humoring me.
My pleasure. I think it's potentially a positive message. It's one that is encouraging if we can just basically keep our eye on the ball. That is the point is basically to mature spiritually and to basically come to grips with our possibilities. And I think that's what people need to do. But they need to know why, and that's where the evidence comes in. I mean, the evidence, I think people find they'll be surprised by some of the things that we have in the book there in that regard.
Right. Well, everybody go out and get your book, Ghost of Atlantis by J. Douglas Kenya. And Doug, thank you again. Please come back. I'm sure we have lots more to talk about, and I'm sure there's is there any more books coming out? I mean, are you going to write some more?
It's too early to be thinking about that right now.
I have a feeling. My gut feeling says yes.
Trying to recover from the last one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be another one. So that's my intuitive thought. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Truth Be Told every Friday. Stick around. We have another show right after that about talking about abductees. So please stick around. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please subscribe to our channel and please, you know, share the show. Leave a comment. I'd love to have positive comments. You can leave some, you know, constructive criticism. I don't mind taking that. And go to our podcast, too. You can also iHeart, Apple, leave reviews, and that always helps us get higher on the rankings. So, but until then, love you guys, and we'll see you next time on Truth Be Told. Take care. Bye.